If you're purchasing a new home or refinancing your existing home, then you need to call Team Hochberg, your trusted local lender, 855-563-2843, or visit 56david.com. Lower.com, Equal Housing Lender, MLS 112-4061.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
John, Eli, it's really great to be on the show. I love that you played the music from our show, John. And before we go, I know we're going to talk a lot of football tonight, and it's an honor to be asked. I'm going to gush about being on with you because...
Oh, my.
Yeah, get ready for some real pandering.
Well, hold on a second. Let me get some, like, a raincoat or something so I don't get over-gushed.
Yeah, yeah. Roll on this, Eli. I'm a 70s, 80s Chicago kid from the South Side. I grew up on radio in Chicago, and I grew up on you... Yep. And Larry Lujack and Les Grobstein and Steve Dahl in that order. So you asking me to come on your show is a career highlight, and thank you for having me.
Oh, my pleasure. And you know, when you mentioned Les Grobstein, I just went, ugh.
Old
school. Of course, he passed away. He was old school. Yeah. He knew every, I'm sure you know, he knew every fact about every sport from every decade. Without looking up in a book or anything like that. I don't know what you call somebody like. He could just like throw it out. You name it, he said it.
He was a true savant. I met Les Grobstein when I was about 18 years old. Remember Gary Fensick used to own that hunt club over on Clybourne?
Yeah, used to do some stuff with Gary Fensick, sure.
Yeah, and Gary was doing a show there, and we went because I was a crazy Bears fan, and Les Grobstein, I was probably 16 years old. Yeah. I went up. I was nervous to meet Gary Fensick, obviously, but also I'm a radio guy. And I went up to Les Grobstein. I said, "Mr. Grobstein, my name's Paul Pabst, da, 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 da." And I asked him for his autograph. And he was so nice that he gave me a couple of radio tips. He could have easily just walked away, but that was the only time I ever met him. And, you know, but like when I grew up on the South Side of Chicago, my heroes weren't just sports people, they were Chicago media people. Like, again, you, Larry Lujack, and Les Grobstein. I would go on to Chet Kopick was fantastic back in the day.
Yeah.
And different people like that. And when you'd meet them and they'd be nice to you, it really inspired you. I was working with the Dan Patrick Show, and years ago, we were over at the ABC building and I saw Tim Weigel.
Sure.
And like you, Weigel Wieners and Weigel Absolutely. When I was a kid, he was one of the more famous people in town. And I went up to him and I was probably like a 30-year-old man. And I said, "Excuse me, Mr. Weigel?" And he goes, "You can call me Tim." And I was like, "I don't know if I can." And I met Tim Weigel, and Dan Patrick goes, "You okay?" I'm like, "No, man, that's Tim Weigel. That's one of the people I grew up with." So again, this is an honor.
Well, I'm glad that you think so. Something just occurred to me while you were talking. You know, they've given me some facts about you, like you went to Southern Illinois for college.
Yes.
And then it says favorite teams, Cubs. And then the third one is Yale football. And when you said Gary Fensick, I'm like, oh, maybe that's the reason. He played at Yale, didn't he?
He was a Yale guy. He still has a parking pass right there. You see his name on the plate. But when I was working at ESPN, I lived down in New Haven, Connecticut. And it was nice to have local college football. And I would go to all the Yale games. And it was nice. It wasn't to, you know, Michigan State. It wasn't Notre Dame, Northwestern. But it was big time football.
So I'm way more interested in your career than picking NFL winners and losers, but of course we will. So the Dan Patrick Show, I mean, this is like, it doesn't get any bigger than this. How is it that you found your way onto that program as an executive producer?
Oh, man, I hope your listeners have patience here. I'll try to be quick.
They do. I don't care if they do or not.
I went to Southern Illinois for radio, TV, and journalism, and I worked at Pro Football Weekly for a couple of years with Hub Arkish.
Yes,
and then I moved out to the East Coast and found a job with CBS Sports for about 5 years. And then there was an opening at ESPN, and I was like a football producer, College Game Day, different shows like that at ESPN. Then Dan Patrick, who I watched every single night on SportsCenter in the 90s when I was in college at Southern Illinois. By the way, John, I went 5.5 years and did not get a master's. That's impressive.
Well, you always have sports. See, that's very important. Yeah.
Southern Illinois, easy to get in, hard to get out. Okay, so one day a mutual friend introduced me to Dan. I barely knew him in the hallways at ESPN, and he needed a producer for his radio show. And he came up and talked to me, and I was like, you ever have one of those moments where you're talking to someone, but you're also out of body saying, "I'm talking to Dan Patrick"?
Yes, that's happened to me in the past.
You've been there many times, and then we went over, and I went over to his house. We had a couple drinks, had a couple chats. And he asked me to produce his show. And we've basically been together ever since. And it's a great partnership. He's clearly, like yourself, one of the all-time greats in radio, sports radio, and a great interviewer. And it's just an honor to work on the show. We get to be creative and interview the best guests. And I was with Dan 4 hours ago, and we had a great show. And it's just the best. He's a big Chicago guy. He loves going to Wrigley and checking out games. But that's how I ended up there.
He knows you're doing this, right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay, yeah, I got to get the hall pass from the boss.
I was going to say, hold on a second here. Okay, we'll get to football in just a couple of minutes. Hold on a second.
Sure.
So anybody, well, maybe not anybody, but I would think that most people watching the Dan Patrick Show, mm-hmm. one of the first questions that comes to mind is, where did all that crap come from? I mean, there is like, who cleans that? I mean, there's so many, I mean, what do you want to call them? Tchotchkes about every inch of every part of that studio seems to be covered by some sports memorabilia of some kind. I mean,
yeah, I'm a little used to it. It's wild because Dan Patrick, when we left ESPN, we decided to find a building and build our own studios for radio and TV. Mm-hmm. And what he did was he cleaned out his house. He cleaned out his basement, his man cave, and took all the memorabilia from 20 years plus at ESPN. And his wife loved it, by the way.
Oh, I'll bet.
Everything out of the house.
Yeah.
And we just put it up all over the walls. And then people send stuff. And like Shaquille O'Neal sent a pair of 23 shoes, and different people send different things. And it just builds and builds and builds. But it really works well on TV and when you have guests, because they're like, what is that? And you're like, that's Tony Hawk's skateboard, or that's Tim Duncan's basketball shoes. And it's pretty wild to be there every day, because we call it the Dansonian, because it's just Dan's stuff all over the place. And it is like a little sports museum.
It sure is. Paul Pabst, who's a WGN radio sports correspondent, I'm told.
Wow.
And executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show, will be back. Going to take a break before we get going on the other stuff here at WGN. Oh, boy. That's Annie Agar. Do you know who? That's highly edited, by the way. Paul, do you know who she is by any chance?
I sure do. I've met her before. She's snarky. Yeah, she's a sports person in Chicago. She does a lot of funny videos. She's got a wicked sense of humor.
She's in Chicago.
I think mostly she spends time in Chicago.
Yeah, I see her just out and about quite a bit. Even when I'm just going out.
It's true.
Wow. Yeah, she does some. She's got a sharp tongue, I'll tell you. And funny and good. Anyway, say, Paul Pabst, executive producer of the Dan Patrick Show, why don't we get to what we're supposed to do? And by the way, what is that?
Well, we're going to talk football, John, because the Chicago Bears, you know, it's a Bears town. And I think there's a lot of momentum for the Bears this year. I want to recap the offseason.
Please
fantastic,
do.
Yeah, fantastic offseason for the Bears. They added three new offensive linemen. That was the biggest deal, because last year the offensive line was the worst part of the team. They added three guys. They added Joe Tooney, Drew Dahlman, the center, Jonah Jackson. They have now an above-average offensive line, which puts Caleb Williams in year two in a much better position. He was running for his life last year and didn't do a bad job. But, John, here's kind of what happened last year to Caleb Williams, not just the pass rush. He suffered in comparison to Jaden Daniels at the Commanders, the Washington Commanders, a fellow rookie who had one of the great rookie years of all time. And the Commanders, I think they won 12 games and made the playoffs. They won a playoff game. So I think Caleb Williams suffered national perception a lot into that. And then, you know, adding from the Lions, Ben Johnson, that is monstrous, because usually historically, and you know Chicago, the Bears aren't known as an organization that pays. And they broke the bank to get Ben Johnson when a lot of people thought the Raiders may break the bank. So they got him. So they won the offseason, but that's the good news.
Oh, okay. But also, wasn't Williams sacked more than any other NFL quarterback last year?
Yeah, the big criticism on him, he holds the ball too long.
Oh, that's true. I remember that part, yeah.
Yeah, and there's a good part about it is that he keeps plays alive, and he makes plays in the fourth quarter, and you know they call them off-platform plays, like when the pocket breaks down and he rolls out. He's really good at that. But what they want him, they really would like him to do, is drop back five steps and throw a seven-yard out pattern on timing, and that would be the way to improve this year.
Well, that's probably what they're working on, I hope. You know, I'm from Ann Arbor. I'm a big Michigan fan, and I'm interested in seeing what Colston Loveland does at tight end once they actually get the season going. It's just my own personal It's got nothing to do with anything except that. So, and to prove that I can name a player on the roster, which is very important.
By the way, I think Colston Loveland is an interesting draft pick because they didn't, nobody thought they would go tight end that high in the draft, and they did. And they put him with Cole Kmet. I think that gives him a lot of options. And Ben Johnson was known for using the tight end quite a bit when he was up in Detroit. By the way, my first favorite college football player of all time, even though I'm a Notre Dame fan, the first guy I saw this uniform and I saw this guy running, and I was like, who is that? Number one for the Michigan Wolverines, Anthony Carter.
Young guy. Yeah.
AC was a freak, AC, so I just had to throw that in there.
No, I got a big poster of AC hanging on the walls at home.
That's awesome.
I know AC. So listen, we are going to pick, I understand, Super Bowl picks, MVP prediction, NFC North winner, and Bears end of season final record. Is that correct?
That's a lot to get to.
Yeah, we can do it, right? I mean,
All right. Who goes first?
You do, man. I'm not going. You're the one that knows this stuff. I'm just like, that's
John, you're cheating off my paper. Okay, let's go.
Yes, I am cheating off your paper. You got that. That's absolutely right. Yeah.
Let's go right to it. Let's go Super Bowl and just pull the plug on that. I hate to say it, but I think the Detroit Lions will finally get there. They were fantastic last year. I think they've learned from the past 2 years of I think they got a little scared in the sun when they got so close to being in the Super Bowl. And they're still a talented team. So I'm going to Detroit Lions in the NFC. And believe it or not, an easy pick, but I think the Kansas City Chiefs might actually be better this year.
Really?
Because they're getting Rashee Rice back in week 7. Mahomes has a good offensive line last year for Travis Kelce. It's hard to pick against them. Every time I want to pick the Bills or the Ravens or someone else, my mind says, why would you do that? It's like, you know, like playing blackjack and not listening to the rules. So I'm going to go Lions versus Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, I'll tell you, not with the engagement of Travis Kelce, and it's going to be madhouse once again. I mean, if you thought it was crazy before, just wait till she shows up for the first home game.
You're not joking.
With that bling, man, yeah, it's going to be big.
Okay, let's get your pick
for the Super Bowl
winner.
Super
Bowl, yep.
I'm going to go with the Ravens.
Okay, Ravens look good. They're always good.
I don't know. Because I like Lamar Jackson, maybe.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson always looks great. I mean, he hasn't had a down season. They were 12-5 last year. They're always in the mix. And I think it's a good call because, you know, the Chiefs, they were 15-2 last year, but they didn't win. They won a lot of close games. I think they're a little vulnerable. So, and who do you like anyone in the NFC?
Do I like anybody in the NFC? Well, geez.
It's hard not to pick the Eagles.
Yeah, so I'll go with that. Sure, why not?
Okay, let's now.
The Eagles, the Ravens, the the Buffalo Bills to a certain extent, the Kansas City Chiefs, they all seem to be in the mix for a while. You know, like first third of the season, maybe up to the second half of the season, and then once you get past that, then things start to fall apart for some of these teams for some reason or another.
Yeah, but, they're all really consistent. All right, let's go league MVP. I'm going to go first. Mm-hmm. This guy got his wide receiver signed. He got his defensive lineman signed. The Cincinnati Bengals won the last 5 games last year, and Joe Burrow was playing fantastic. They did not make the playoffs. If they made the playoffs last year, I think he had a shot at MVP. This is a big season for their coach, Zach Taylor. If they don't win a playoff game, I think he's fired. So Joe Burrow, a lot of motivation, a lot of talent, big numbers.
I was reading about him today, and I was a fan of his last year, and I'll go along with that. I think he's due, so to speak. I mean, he also was injured last year, wasn't he, or am I incorrect about that?
No, he got banged up. He's been banged up every year except for the Super Bowl year a few years back.
Right. So I'm checking on the time to see how much time we got left here. Oh, 56:40. Okay, good. Next, what do we move on to? So we've got
the NFC North Division winner.
Okay, I'll go first because I obviously picked the Detroit Lions to be in the Super Bowl, so I'm going to go with the Detroit Lions.
Well, who else could it possibly be?
Yeah, and I think when Bears fans get excited about this season, and there's a lot to be excited about on the field, the offseason's great. I think there's a problem at the running back position, not a lot of depth with the Bears. But the NFC North is brutal. The Lions won 15 games last year. The Vikings with Sam Darnold won 14 games. The Packers are always there, should improve. They won 11. So for the Bears to get out of this division or win this division, it's going to be monumental. And I know there's a lot of hope in August. August hope was great. There was a ton of hope last year, and they won five games. So I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be Lions, Packers, oh man, Bears, Vikings, and you know, all the games are going to be really tight.
You know, Hamp and OB, we have that show here. And OB.
Yep.
And the Bears were 5-12 last year. I'm surprised OB is still alive because I swear his blood pressure when he got on the air must have been in the red zone. I mean, it's radio. You can't actually see him, but whoa.
It's funny you said blood pressure because I listen to those guys every week, and you can actually hear the tension. It feels like Hampton's grabbing the table with his big meaty paws and trying to squeeze it, because I bet you he's just watching it going crazy. Because he in his mind, he could still probably play football, but he's just frustrated. Probably.
It's different making eye contact with him while he's doing it. Oh, I sit here in the studio while that's all happening.
Is it scary to Eli?
Oh, yeah. I keep my distance until the show's over. Then as soon as he walks out the door, it's, oh, great show. We'll see you next week. Let's do it again. Go Bears.
Yeah. Go Bears, 5-12.
That was rough.
I don't think that's what they're looking for.
Well, you know, one thing I do want to mention, John, is that working on the Dan Patrick Show and a national show, I often have to answer for the Bears when I walk into work.
Yeah,
like I'll bet. The Bears lost against Washington last year when the Hail Mary play.
Oh, my God.
Dan walked in and he goes, dude, what happened to your squad? I'm like, oh, no, and I got to deal with this for 3 hours, and it's not just behind the scenes. Dan brings it up on air. So that winning streak, that losing streak, I should say, in the back half of the season was just rough.
Yeah, that game you just referenced was an unbelievable embarrassment. Hey, listen, I guess we get to talk next week. Is that correct?
We do. Every week, I hope.
Awesome. I look forward to it. Thanks for coming on.
Anytime, and we'll do the Bears pick next week for their exact record.
Got it. All right. The news is next from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom at 720 WGN.